As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
It's not about me. I'm only here for a minute. And I know that I can't fix it. I can help even just a little bit. Won't you let me try?
Hello, welcome to another Laz and Powers podcast. This is Scott Powers, joined by Mark Lazarus. We're both of The Athletic. It is lovely. It's a Thursday, yes, right? I'm completely lost, especially when I'm away from the team. Like I struggle with the days. Mark is in Ottawa. I'm in Chicago, completing the Blackhawks would have a four-game road trip here in Canada, huh?
Yeah, a lot of time in Canada this last, but they did the Western Canada swing, and then they did the Eastern Canada here, plus Winnipeg. You know, I got to say right off the bat here, I'm a little disappointed that we didn't open this open with a different theme song today. I was expecting Go You Northwestern after last night's big win over IU. I'm a little disappointed in our producer, whose name is Scott Powers.
that would take a lot of technological work that I did not have. Yeah,
You really thought that was a push off? I mean, this is the Big Ten, man. This isn't like, you know, the little kids network here.
He created a little bit of space there enough to get that shot off. I thought, but I didn't expect the call. I do think that he got a little bit of a Michael Jordan push off there to create a little space on Byron Russell.
Hey, when you're boo booey, you get the Michael Jordan rules.
It was at home in Northwest. Yeah, the Big Ten. You know, they're riding the Northwestern wave right now, and they needed that call. So
everybody needs those Northwestern ratings. Yeah,
the two last teams to beat Purdue, right? Like it's the world beaters right there.
Yeah, it's four straight wins over ranked opponents and number one team. I mean, the Cats are for real.
And Chris Collins needed the season because I think he was near
the
end of.
That's the only downside of this. Like, I wanted Chris Collins out because I didn't think he was a very good coach. So as like a fan, just as an alum, I just was like, we'll just have one more bad season and then we can go get a new coach. But now he's here forever. God, two trips to the tournament. Yeah, he's here. He's the new Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I feel like he took a little bit of that Fitzgerald that charm and made it work this year. So yeah, I mean, the fact that. Yeah, this is more than, I mean, obviously making the tournament one time, but I always felt like Carmody deserved one tournament that he never got.
Oh, I wanted it so badly for him. He's such a fun guy to cover and just this, like, brutally honest, like, you know, New Yorkish guy. I love Bill Carmody, and they never quite got there. They were always close. Yeah. They'd get to the NIT, or they need, like, two more wins down the stretch, and they wouldn't get him, but... It's fun now, though. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, I feel bad because my IU fandom is pretty fake. Like when I was there, I had season tickets for 4 years, and then year after I graduated, I went to the Final Four, and you know, I saw a Sweet 16 where they beat Duke in Louisville or Lexington. I was a diehard fan, and then I just did sort of.
I watched so much bad Northwestern basketball over the years. I always watched the non-conference. I mean, I don't know why I do this to myself, but this is the reward, right? It's like, you know, maybe I'll actually get to see him do something.
Yeah, maybe you can follow him the chart. I'll cover a few days, and you just go follow Northwestern and it works out. The Big Ten tournament's in Chicago. If you'd like,
yeah, how about that?
Maybe we can go to a game.
We might get a double bye. That's crazy.
Yeah, look at that. It's right around my birthday too. We can go celebrate.
Oh, hell,
Northwestern.
Yeah. Like, our birthday's the same week, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. What did your? Mine's the 10th.
On March 6th. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go. Just get drunk all day and watch college basketball.
It'll be just like when I covered it in college.
Yeah. So Blackhawks played. I don't want to get too deep into the actual games, but it's after coming out of the break and playing Arizona and Anaheim and feeling really good about themselves, like it felt like this road trip had a chance to probably put them back down to earth a little bit. And it's been the case over three games. And, you know, I don't know how much better it's going to get in Ottawa either.
Yeah. I mean, it hasn't been pretty. I mean, you know, Luke Richardson keeps saying that he likes the way they played in Winnipeg. They just got, you know, hellebucked, which happens. The Montreal game was absolutely atrocious. Like one of the worst games I've seen the Blackhawks play this year. And that is really saying something. They played some real stinkers this year. It was just a terrible effort. Last night in Toronto, I mean, Toronto's just so much better than them. That's really all it comes down to, right? Like Montreal isn't good. Winnipeg is pretty good. But Toronto, that's an elite team with so much firepower. And, you know, even if the Blackhawks are quote unquote playing well, they can't hang with a team like that. They don't have the horses to keep up with a team like that. So, you know, it almost didn't matter. I mean, they were -650. I'm not much of a betting guy, but Toronto was -650 favorites. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in hockey with a fluky sport like that. But like, they were right. I mean, they just can't hang. Like in theory, they should be able to hang with Ottawa tomorrow, but you know, they're just, you know, it's funny. I wrote a story during the game. You know, as our readers know, we're not really writing game stories this year because the games don't really mean anything. I had a story ready to go and it was basically ready to file. And then I went in the locker room and I just got this sense that everybody was just beaten down by this trade deadline stuff. I think they really are like, I don't think you're going to see a good game from this team until this all passes. I think that all this stuff, the Kane stuff, the Taves stuff, the McCabe stuff, the Lafferty stuff, there's so many of these guys on the block right now that it's really weighing them down. And I was able to pull Sam Lafferty aside yesterday after the game. And he said as much. He said, yeah, it's hard. We're all trying not to think about it. We're trying to be professionals, but they're human beings. They're buddies, they're friends, like, and they're about to see their friends leave. And, you know, they're getting asked about it all the time and they're thinking about it all the time. And they're talking to their agents about it all the time. And there's just this natural human side of this that it makes it really hard to go out and focus on hockey when your whole life is about to be upended. So I wound up writing a column off of that because I think we forget sometimes, you know, we always write about the human side and ha ha ha, this guy didn't have his luggage for a week and a half or whatever like that. But these are like, you know, there aren't a lot of jobs in the world where you could just potentially be like uprooted and moved, you know, against your will even. Like, yeah. It's not like you're not going to get traded to, you know, the Fresno B tomorrow. That's not how this works. So it's a really strange lifestyle where, I mean, nobody feels sorry for them. I know they make millions of dollars to play a game and that's the deal. You sign up for that. Everyone would sign up for that. But there's still people with families and lives and friends. And a lot of them are about to be, you know, upturned. And you don't know if you're going to go to Florida or Edmonton or, you know, LA or Boston. You can go anywhere. And that's a very unnerving feeling, I think, for these guys.
Yeah, no, it's also interesting. It's coupled off. I mean, they probably played their two best games of the year right before this road trip. And it's probably being on a road trip and just, yeah, I mean, you'd think that
would help almost. But if anything, yeah. It's, you know, these guys love going on road trips because there's no distractions, right? But now there's no distractions from the distraction.
Yeah.
Like they can't just go play with their kids or something because you're just here thinking about the trade deadline.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And sometimes the reality is that these teams are just better than them, right? Like I feel like that's the part that plays out. And Luke Richardson's gotten so much out of this team this year. And some days it just is unrealistic for multiple reasons, including what you're talking about. Like it's, and then we still have a few more weeks of this, right? Like we still don't know what's, I mean, the Blackhawks still haven't been told, you know, what Kane and Taves want to do. And, you know, we're probably maybe a week away from that still. And there's only three more home games before the trade deadline. So, I mean, it's, you know, we both still expect that Kane has to be traded. You know, Taves is probably a lot more up in the air. But, there's two home games. And then who knows if they get to that third one, too. Like, I mean, the third one's what, March 2nd, so right before the deadline. So we're talking... You know, like this could be the end. And I wonder if I'm sure they've wanted to delay it. In fact, that there haven't been a lot of home games, and they want to, you know, delay this as long as possible. But we're sort of coming up against it now, too.
What do you think about this kind of growing animus toward particularly Kane among the Blackhawks fans? I mean, it's not like they're kind of starting to get frustrated with him. Like, make up your goddamn mind already. That's like 90% of the comments now. If they're not screaming about me being too woke, it's about, you know, why Patrick Kane's got to make up his mind. He cost us now. It's his fault that he didn't get traded to New York. He should have said a month earlier that he wanted to get traded. You know, he hasn't made up his mind yet. He doesn't know what he wants to do. It's a huge life decision. And typically this stuff doesn't happen until the week leading up to the deadline. The Horvat and Tarasenko trades were unusual in that regard. Yeah. But what do you make of this kind of growing frustration the fan base is having? It's like this, if he's going to have a farewell, it should be a, you know, uplifting, moving thing. And right now it's like, just rip the Band-Aid off and get out of here. It seems to be the vibe, which is it's really odd, because this is Patrick freaking Kane, arguably the greatest Blackhawk of all time.
Yeah, I still think that he's decided, and I just don't think he wants to declare his decision. You know, like, I get to the idea that I get the sense that he wants to be traded. Every sign is pointing in that direction throughout the year. And you know, like, I just don't think he wants this. Maybe, and maybe that's the most challenging part of this whole thing for either one of them, is just saying that aloud and you know, having Brisson tell Davidson that, and worrying about the reaction from the fans. Then, you know, like, ultimately you're saying, I want to be traded from the Blackhawks, and you're moving on, you know, instead of the Blackhawks being the ones sort of making the decision. So I don't know. I think it's challenging for them in a lot of respects, and just getting over the hump of actually making that decision. But I mean, in the one sense, and that, you know, like, there's certainly fewer trades to be made now because of what else has happened. I still think there are going to be teams left out there for Kane to go to.
And Toronto's in a tizzy right now over the idea that he could go to Toronto.
Yeah. And maybe the fans are so worked up about it because, one, it's been such a hot topic throughout the whole season. And two, some of those trades have happened. So it feels like any possibility of getting something for Kane is slipping, or is it a sense that they just, I don't know, like I read, you know, when I do read the comments of our stories and people aren't yelling about something, that it's often about, you know, people also, they want the idea of that Kane and Taves might return and resigning. So maybe them saying that we're going to stay throughout the season, maybe that opens some window to them resigning, which I still don't think is a possibility. But I think maybe fans just want some clarity. So I don't know. It's odd knowing that the deadline stuff really doesn't happen and until a little bit later, like you said. So I don't know what to make of it entirely.
And to just as an aside to all the commenters screaming at us to stop writing about Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves, we see the numbers. We see that you're reading that you want the Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves stuff. When we write about Tyler Johnson, I'm telling you, it ain't the same. So you could say you want some features on some other guys, and we'll get into you in March. I promise you'll be getting to you in March. But right now, all you guys care about is Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves. So we're writing the news. The news right now, there's no bigger story in the Blackhawks for the last, you know, 6 months than what the future of Patrick Kane is.
Yeah. And it's not all pure speculation. We do have some news in there.
We talk to people around the league, believe it or not. We know things.
Yeah. And but we have a fun piece coming tomorrow. We have our annual player poll, which we, over the last month, we've worked on, and it's always a fun piece, and we try to do it later in the season, so the players all have known each other well for a long time now and have a pretty good sense of everyone's personality and who they are. So it's
definitely, and we're running it tomorrow because half of them won't be here the next week.
Every year it takes a while to put together, but it's a fun piece. And we just did, and we had the Frank Nazar Q&A early in the week, mm-hmm. and it sounds like he's leaning toward going back to Michigan. And we'll have plenty of prospect stuff and whatnot.
And we're also going to write more about Patrick Kane, so brace yourself.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, until Patrick Kane, and probably until after Patrick Kane's gone, we'll probably still be talking about Patrick Kane. I know that DeBrincat spoke today, and what Ian Mendez, who the Athletic, was there, and you tweeted some of the comments, and
Ian sent me the audio file. I was just listening to it before we came on the air, and you know, DeBrincat is pretty tight with Kane. Like, they still talk, they still communicate, they still, you know, text each other while watching hockey games. I have a story coming up after the deadline that'll kind of touch on that a little bit about these guys, how they watch the games. And so they keep in touch, and DeBrincat was kind of open about it. He sounds like a guy who is convinced Patrick Kane's out the door. Like, he didn't flat out say that, but he said, you know, it's been tough for him. A lot of his buddies got moved out last year, and I think he's been going through a little injury stuff. It's a tough season. I can't say he probably wants to be in a rebuild right now, but you guys can ask him that. And then he went on to talk about how, you know, he's so competitive, and, you know, everyone around the league is excited to see him in a new home and see how he gets comfortable there. He was almost talking about him in the past tense with the Blackhawks. Like, if you're just reading tea leaves, you know, Patrick Kane talks to Alex DeBrincat, and Alex DeBrincat sure sounded like a guy who knows that Patrick Kane's leaving. So it was interesting to hear that. You know, it just feels like that's inevitable. It really does. Like, I was talking to our Toronto guy Sean Fitzgerald and Jonas Siegel last night, and they're like, they're asking me what he's going to do, and what's going to every city we go to, everyone's asking, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? And like, I have like my idea. If I were these guys' friend, and I'm not, we just work with them. And this is easy for me to say, and it's probably wrong, but I would tell both of them, fucking stay. Play your careers out here. Your legacies are secure. You've got 3 cups. You've got all the hardware and the trophies and everything like that. Like, you have nothing left to prove. Like, you could go out and just be legends. You could be perpetual Chicago legends, you know, and you just say, you know what, you want to come back, you play a few more years, and you retire as Blackhawks. They don't need to go chasing the cup. This isn't a Ray Bourque situation. So for me, from the outside, I could see that, and I would say, why wouldn't you just stay and just, you know, be the guys that lead that next generation into the league and then bow out gracefully? But
I see,
I'm not a professional athlete. I'm not as hyper competitive as they are, where they're thinking, it's been 7 years, you know, we've wasted our primes here, and I wanted to go chase a car. I get that.
I guess,
but I don't know.
They're going to have statues outside regardless, right?
Like, yes, they are forever Blackhawks.
Like, if it's now or it's 3 or 4 years from now, I don't think their legacies as Blackhawks are any different. And them staying, I don't know how much, like, I don't know if things get any better in the next 3-4 years, right? Like, it all depends on if they get Bedard and what else and whatever else happens. And
that's the only reason I could see Kane staying, is that he wants to see what happens at the draft lottery, and then he could just go write his, because he could just stay and then be a UFA and write his own ticket in the summer. But he doesn't want to screw over the Blackhawks.
This could be their best chance. This end of the season could be their best chance to chase another cup. Like, you choose who you're going to. You have an opportunity. Like, you don't have to play out a full season, and I don't know. Like,
it's tough though. Wherever Kane goes, he's not re-signing there. None of these teams that could get him for the rest of the season can afford him next season. What's he going to do next season?
It depends on what he like. I don't. Yeah, I'm curious whether money's going to matter to him or not. Like,
does he want to go to Toronto or Dallas or Vegas or Carolina for 3 months and then have to move again? He's got a young kid. He's got a family.
Guys do that. Like, it's not like it's unheard of, you know.
Of course not. No, yeah. But it's not ideal, especially when you've been with a team forever. You're not like one of these mercenary types that have been around and done that before. These guys, Kane and Taves, have never moved. They've never had to do that. So I think that, you know, again, whatever teams he gets traded to, they will not be able to re-sign him.
There aren't. I'm curious what Kane's next contract looks like, right? Like, he can probably still demand, you know, $8-9 million, but
Devin, I was thinking, but
whatever. I don't. There aren't a lot of teams that can afford that, and I don't know he's not going to want to go to teams that can't contend after this. So,
he's not going to want to do 1 year deals. I don't think. I don't think, you know. Again,
maybe if he finds the right spot. I mean, do you just take some kind of discount and that's where you go play? Like, you don't need.
We
the
always
money.
Say that. That never happens, though, right? I mean, these guys have made gods and more than enough money in their careers. Like, Patrick Kane doesn't need, you know, when Brad Richards at the end of his career signed with the Blackhawks because he wanted to do one more cup run. He signed for what, $2 million? He could have gotten more than that in the open market. But he didn't need the money, but that doesn't happen very often. We really don't see that.
Yeah, we've seen it a few times over recent years, right?
The NHLPA discourages it too. You're not supposed to do that because you were theoretically screwing over your fellow players, right? A rising tide lifts all boats. You're not supposed to be out there taking discounts. It's generally frowned upon.
Yeah, I'll be curious because I don't know how many teams that, you know, like, usually teams that better teams don't have a lot of cap space. And I don't think Kane's, I think Kane's unique where he's not just chasing, you know, whatever he gets paid the most. I think there is a, there is finding the right line mates in the championship, the right contender, because he hasn't gone through that in recent years. And yeah, I guess that's the biggest thing is for me, is that I think it's been so long since these guys have actually had success. Like, it'd be different if they had even been competitive in recent years, but I mean, to go the entire length of this, both of their, I mean, like, I mean, their contracts, yeah, without, you know, playoff appearance, like, it's been a long time.
It's incredible to think that they all they've accomplished, they sort of squandered their prime still. And it's astonishing. Like, they won three cups so early in their careers that the, you know, historical definition of prime is just like your mid-20s to your early 30s. They blew it completely. Like, the Hawks squandered it completely. And you can't go back and say, oh, the Hawks didn't do enough. They won three Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
That's, you know, tied for the most in the modern era. But at the same time, it's like, boy, they really squandered so many good years from them.
Yeah, I was talking to someone yesterday actually about the, like, the fact that Blackhawks went from 2008-09 to 2000, and I guess with the 16-17 season, like, there's almost like, that's 8-9 years, right? Like, of success. And then I think like US Mold team, like, if you have that sort of window of success, like, you're probably satisfied, you know, like, you have three cups, and that it wasn't just like three cups in a row, but it was this long span where you were competitive and you were in the playoffs, and even up until the end, you know, even the St. Louis and Nashville series, like, those seasons, they were successful. And it felt like, you know, if they get past this team or that team, like, they still make a run. So I don't think anyone saw the abrupt ending to it, but like, the window they had was large, and there's gotta be regrets there, because it felt like the window could have stayed open even longer. But, yeah, but for the success they had, it happened so early in the career that it feels like it was wasted. But for, I think a lot of teams, if you told them like, yeah, you're going to have this 8-year window, I think a lot of teams would.
Yeah. It goes back to that thing I'm always harping on. It's like, what would it be better to be a Bruins fan the last 15 years or a Blackhawks fan? Is it better to burn brighter, or is it better to burn longer?
Yeah.
Every year the Bruins are in it, but they never win anything. Maybe this year they will. They're unbelievably good. Yeah. But they haven't won anything in 12 years.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. It's I guess it'll be nice. It'll be nice to have some clarity here in the next week, and just
I feel like we said that every week for the last month.
I know, but like there's actually like deadlines now, and there's actually like
nice. Really been kicking this can down the road a lot.
Yeah, like it's been a season-long thing. So,
looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
It'll be,
So what do you think? What about like Jake McCabe? Jake McCabe is an interesting case because he's not a rental, which is usually, for some reason, a problem. But he's on a reasonable contract, and the Hawks would be very happy to eat half that salary if it meant getting like a first-round pick. You could have Jake McCabe, a pretty solid defenseman, for two more years at $2 million a year in a flat-cap world. That seems awfully appealing to me if I'm a GM of a contender.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's giving up a first-rounder. I think the Blackhawks are more hopeful for a second or third or decent prospect. I
don't make that move for a third-rounder because he's still valuable to this team, and you need someone
I think
to work
be
with
a third
the young
rounder
guys
and
if they come up.
Like, there has to be a little bit more because you are going to eat something, and he does have another year, and he's probably on a really good team. He's probably like a 4-6 defenseman, right? Like he's
a solid number four, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think anyone's giving up a first. Like, you can,
Blue Jackets are asking for a first, second, and third or whatever for freaking Gavrikov.
And
it's how did the Blue Jackets, how did the Blue Jackets every year turn some like mediocre player into God? They did it with David Savard. They got a first rounder for David Savard. How does Columbus keep doing this? They are really good at messaging. Holy cow.
From what I've heard, the Blackhawks have gotten enough calls about McCabe, and so we'll see whether it comes to fruition. But I don't see a first rounder. I don't know how realistic that is. I think, you know, if they can get a second and a third and a prospect, or I think that's more reasonable. I think Lafferty's in a similar conversation where you know, a second or a third rounder, and just because he's at such a it's sort of like the Brandon Hagel situation where you know what you're getting. Like, I mean, obviously Hagel's a little bit, you know, better case and more desirable because he had some more offense to him. But I think the cost certainty of both those players, you know, like I think McCabe a little bit of concern just because of his injury stuff, but he's played well this year. And yeah, I mean, I think he fits in with the contender. He gives you some nice depth to defenseman, but I'd be shocked if they got a first rounder, right? Like it's, like there's only so many first rounders that are going to go during the trade deadline.
It's wild because some years they give out first rounders like candy. Like Ryan Hartman got a first rounder before he was like a 30 goal scorer. We see first rounders go like David Savard again. I mean, we see these first rounders go like candy, but this year everyone seems a little bit more protective of it because this draft, it's not just Bedard, Fantilli, Michkov, and Carlson. They're the talking to draft experts, they see this draft like there's like the 15th pick in this draft would be a top five pick in most drafts. Like that's how good the top of this draft is supposed to be and just how deep that talent pool is. So I think teams are a little kind of clutching their first rounders a little more tightly than they have in years past.
And the reality too, is that then there's other players obviously available around the league. I mean, Timo Meier and Erik Karlsson, if those guys are available, yeah, like they're probably more desirable, you know, like it's...
God, can you imagine if the Oilers got Erik Karlsson, like have Carlson feeding the puck up ahead to Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl? Holy shit. Yeah. Like I know they need actual defense and Erik Karlsson doesn't really do that anymore, but my God, I would pay money to get a press pass to watch that team play.
I think Kane still, like, he draws a first rounder if he says he wants to go. Yeah, it's hard for me to see the Blackhawks get multiple first rounders, you know, like I'm sure they want to move Domi and Anthesiu if they can. But yeah, again, you're talking about, you know, second, third rounders maybe. And I guess that they need to figure out what they're going to try to keep around, or, you know, like so much of this is, none of these guys are really sticking around. Like, sure, yeah, you'd like Lafferty or McCabe to stick around and they're fine. But yeah, the Blackhawks probably see them as replaceable too if they want to go out and get a veteran for a couple of years and probably overpay for them. So I, you know, it's where other teams see like the cost, cost efficiency of those players, like the Blackhawks, they just don't look at it the same way because they actually need to spend money over the next two years to get over, right, you know, get even to the floor. So,
and just the fact that you know McCabe's a good player and it would be nice to have him, you know, working with a Kevin Korchinski to shore up his defensive game, like that's all appealing. But the fact is, none of these guys are going to be here on the other side of this. I mean, we've talked about this before. Seth Jones and maybe Philip Kurashev are really the only guys in the roster right now that are going to be here when the Hawks are good again, if the Hawks get good again.
Yeah.
Like even like Sam Lafferty, we think of him as a relatively young guy. He's like 27 years old.
Yeah.
He's not some prospect, you know?
No. Yeah. I mean, if Lafferty stays here, I don't see him probably re-signing after this contract. I mean, they're bringing guys.
He's just one of those guys that can bridge you. Yeah.
Yeah. They're bringing in a lot of guys that they think are going to be Sam Lafferty and hopefully with a little bit more offensive upside, even, you know?
Right.
You put out a call for questions. This is from Wally Kleinfeld. Do you guys think part of why fans have been so accepting of tanking, high attendance, etc., is because of how transparent the tanking is? Short of a Rangers-like letter to fans, KD and team have been very blatant. Obviously, the prospect of Bedard helps too.
The Hawks sent a letter out. It was during the Bowman era, but it was when they let Crawford walk, remember? They sent out a letter, just like the Rangers one, saying we're rebuilding. And then 6 months later, they traded two first-round picks for Seth Jones. So, yeah, I mean, I think everyone understands the deal, right? Like, Blackhawks fans are... I did radio in Toronto yesterday, and I get asked this a lot, like, how are Blackhawks fans handling this? Because I think everyone still thinks these are bandwagon-y fans. And it's pretty clear that that's not the case now. But they're a pretty sophisticated fan base now. They're not all the way there. This isn't like a Winnipeg type market or a Detroit even, or they're not gonna like that I said that, or a Toronto market where, like, because this is still like the first time a lot of the young fans have been going through this. The fans that were minted in the late 2000s, this is the first time they're going through it, but they all understand the appeal. The last few years have been pointless and awful. So they understand why they're doing this. Everybody knows who Connor Bedard is. Everyone knows the goal here. My thing is what's going to happen next year, because it's probably going to be worse. Like you said that a lot this year, that the next year could be worse than this. And it might be interesting because you might have a Bedard or a Fantilli or whoever playing alongside a Reichel. You might have Korchinski on the back end. And those are things you can cling to as a fan. But this team could be horrendous next year as those guys get their feet wet. And how are the fans, like, you know, once the novelty of $15 tickets wears off, how are they going to handle this? Because there might not be 19,000 people in the United Center for a team next year that doesn't have Kane or Taves.
I think all of it depends on Bedard, right? Like if Kane and Taves aren't here, like you need Connor Bedard. I don't think people are going to, Reichel and Korchinski and whomever else.
Even Fantilli is not going to give you that.
No,
buzz
like
that,
it's not like people aren't going to rush out to buy Fantilli jerseys, right? Like he may be the future and he may be the next Taves like center, but yeah, Bedard's he's a superstar. He's the one who walks in your building and it changes your organization, you know, off and on, you know, on and off the ice. So it's so much hinges on him replacing Kane and Taves and marketing it'll be interesting to see what that's like. Otherwise,
what I wonder is that, let's say the Blackhawks finish with like the third worst record and they wind up with like the fifth or sixth pick or whatever it is, does that discourage tanking in the future, like if it doesn't work? Because nobody's tanking as obviously as like you look at Columbus right now, they're in the lead, they went out and got Johnny Gaudreau in the summer. Like, they were not coming in here intending to tank, and they're winning the tank race. So I wonder, like, because I would love to see the league somehow mitigate tanking, somehow prevent this from happening. And I don't know how you do it. The gold plan's never going to happen where, you know, once you get eliminated, you start winning, and that's how you accumulate points towards the draft. That's not going to happen. The league's never going to go for it, much as I'd love to see it. I don't know how you, like the draft lottery should be enough, because finishing dead last doesn't guarantee you, gives you, like I said, 25% chance or whatever having the first pick. Guarantees you a top three pick, yes. But maybe if you just like make the lottery a total crapshoot where you can fall back from first to 13th. I don't know how you mitigate tanking right now.
Part of it's still that you still have to put in the context of what the Blackhawks were, right? Like if it wasn't Kyle Davidson as a first year GM, like if this was Dan Bowman's, you know, whatever 10th year, I don't think he gets this, you know, like he doesn't get this leeway, like he doesn't get to rip it down. Like Kyle Davidson gets the benefit of the doubt from the organization because they're like, we got to try something different. And the previous way didn't work. So I don't, like, at least in the Blackhawks circumstance, like it feels so much like it was the situation. And this is one potential plan. And this is obviously what they were able to get the organization on board with too. But it does feel like that not every team can pull this off. And then, you have some markets like Arizona that continue just not to find success, right? Like just they've had some picks that haven't worked out, and you know, they continue not to spend to the cap, you know, in a real sense other than, you know, acquiring contracts. And then Montreal was so strange where like it's in the cup final and obviously that felt like a little bit smoke and mirrors, but then to be so bad the year after. So and then Columbus is an odd case where they certainly didn't think they'd be in this right now. And right now it feels like a four team race in a lot of ways. I mean, I think if the Blackhawks lose the next two games, they're back in last place again with Columbus. And then you have Arizona and Anaheim, who the Blackhawks just played. And they don't, you know, I mean, Arizona especially is trading pieces away. And it feels like they're going to only get worse after the deadline. So I don't know what the fix is, but yeah, it feels it at least in the Blackhawks situation, it felt very situational to what they were going through. I mean, this isn't something the Blackhawks could have done under Stan Bowman. Like he wouldn't have been able to, given this kind of leeway of everything.
All right. Wally Mazurek, our old friend, he asks, will Lucas Reichel be called up after the trade deadline? Seems like he was doing quite well in Chicago. And then when they sent him down, he struggled in Rockford. I feel like he's too good for the AHL at this point.
I think it depends on how many people are here, you know, like if they have enough, if they have enough players, I think they'd love to see Reichel play the season out there. I think they want to get Rockford into the playoffs. They want those guys to play up playoff games. They also want to give the chance of whomever from junior or college, you know, an opportunity to play up playoff games. You know, like McCorchinski probably makes a run. They have a really good Seattle team, but you know, there's a number of other guys who are going to, you know, potentially turn pro, or there's other guys, you know, like a lot of those guys are in Seattle now. So the guys who are already actually under contract, but I think ideally they like to bring over a couple junior players, you know, put them in the playoffs. And, you know, they did that previously when Ryan Hartman, I think, got a chance to play in some playoff games, and maybe Saad did as in junior. So there were a few cases where guys came over, and, you know, like that's why they sort of loaded up this team. They wanted this team to be really good, to get an opportunity, Reichel and Gutman, all these guys to play with veterans, but also to make the playoffs and give them some playoff games. So I think, I think this season they sort of see it as developmental year for Reichel from start to finish. And and if there's enough guys in Chicago, and maybe that's not depending who they trade away, they may need him up here. But I think even this last recall, the fact that they called up Sini and they called up Gutman, I think that was a little bit telling that they I don't think they want to jerk him around at this point. You know, like I think they want Reichel to be wherever he's at, and they've given him a nice taste of NHL, and now they've seen that what he's potentially capable of, but sort of stick to the plan of probably keeping him down there this season.
Yeah, and it's on the one hand, it's understandable that Reichel was a letdown after being sent down after playing so well in those three games. But on the other hand, you know, pull up your big boy pants and go out and, you know, force their hand, right? I mean, it's kind of a test of a guy's, you know, mental strength here and his will to send him down when he and say, you know, and for him to just light the world on fire down there and make it clear that he doesn't belong in the AHL, right? And he hasn't done that. He's been fine, but there was clearly a dip in his game after he was, let's face it, unjustly sent down from the NHL. You know, that's he's a young guy. And as Patrick Kane pointed out the other day, you need to be more patient with prospects than sometimes the Blackhawks have been. And that's what they're doing. They're waiting for them to be overripe at this point. That is the Blackhawks philosophy now, is they want them overripe as opposed to what they did with Boqvist and Doc.
Yeah, and I think the problem is that they don't have many fans, just don't have anything to cling to right now.
Yeah, of course. No, I understand. I want to see Reichel. I don't want to see these guys. Most of these guys, I don't want to. I want to see Reichel. I want to see Korchinski. I'm looking forward to next year because there'll be new players to watch and maybe be excited by. Because right now, you know, most of these Blackhawks are interchangeable parts. They're not really exciting players.
John Greenberg wants to know when the trade deadline is. Is it April?
I think it's in 2029 at this rate. I don't think we're ever actually going to get there. It's like a moving target. Like the closer we get to it, the farther we actually do. It's like the relativity. I don't know what's going on.
From Jonathan Zygmunt, should the Blackhawks pursue Henry Thrun in UFA, or is this the abundance of lefties in the pool enough to say no? Henry Thrun's who's with, I think, the Ducks, but he's a prospect who isn't, he's a college guy who said he's not signing. But yeah, I don't see the Blackhawks really pursuing.
Right. Don't they have enough defensemen in the system?
You have Del Mastro, Nolan Allen, Korchinski, Kaiser, all four of those guys potentially coming. Yeah. You know, if Kaiser signs, those other three other guys are already signed for next year coming in. And then you already have, all those other guys under contract and Vlasic and
So I think I know the old saying in hockey is you can never have enough defensemen, but they have enough defensemen.
Yeah. From Reed Klein, he asked if I had sent Shalimov anything for Valentine's Day. we did get a pretty definitive that he's probably not. Blackhawks do have no plans of signing him.
I love that he's a 30-year-old prospect. He's like forever young, you know.
Yeah. from Shelby, who do you think the biggest jersey sellers will be once Kane and Taves are gone?
That's a big question, right? Like, this stuff matters to the Blackhawks. It might not matter on the ice, but it matters to the Chicago Blackhawks. Those jerseys are very expensive and they make money. And, you know, we keep saying we don't see a lot of Seth Jones jerseys out there. He's going to be by far the biggest star in this team next year, in theory. They hope it's Bedard. You want to see a bunch of, what's he, number 98? They want to see a bunch of 98s.
Oh, I think Bedard sells instantaneously, yeah. But yeah. If it's not Bedard, like
if it's not Bedard, yeah, I don't know if, like, Leo Carlson is going to light the world on fire here.
Especially if he's not going to be here next year, potentially, so.
So then, then you're down to Korchinski and Reichel, right? It's got to be one of those two guys, and yeah. Defensemen
are hard, I think, unless you put up crazy points or you're part of a winner, which the Blackhawks, you know, like.
Yeah, Seabrook, you got to be Cale Makar, yeah.
Yeah, like Seabrook and Keith and even Jarmelson, like they, a lot of that had to do with just the success of the team, you know, like Nicholas.
Yeah,
Jarmelson,
people bought their jerseys, but they didn't buy them when they were 22 years old.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's for the most part. the questions. You're going to see a movie today? I know we haven't really done our entertainment section of the podcast lately.
It's Ant-Man opening day, man. Quantumania. Hell yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. Did you watch any of the Super Bowl trailers? You excited for The Flash and the resetting of the DC universe and the end of the Snyderverse?
No, I've not watched any of that.
Do any of these words mean anything to you?
No. I know the words. I just don't know what they mean.
So I know you want Banshees of Inisherin to win Best Picture, but who's going to win Best Picture? Have you seen any other movies this year?
I have to look at the list. I actually was looking the other day where I need to just find what movies are streaming.
I did finish Homeland.
I finished Homeland.
way to stay contemporary, Scott.
it took up so much of my time. And now I'm watching, I've been watching White Lotus on HBO.
Oh, that's an easy one to get through. Just 6 episodes each. Those are,
yeah, I need to, but yeah, I need to watch some movies and dive in. So yeah, I the only thing I can say is Banshees of Inisherin should win because I don't know any other of the movies. So.
I think The Fablemans is going to win. I think there's going to be a Spielberg love fest. This is not Steven Spielberg's best movie by a long shot. It has some really great moments in it, but it's not some epic masterpiece. But I think it's going to win. When are the Oscars? I think they're right around the trade deadline, I think, actually. I think it's in early March.
Well, I got time to cram them in. I'll be on the road.
You do. There's only 10 movies. You've seen one of them.
I'll be on the road next week, and then, yeah, maybe
most of them are really, you could see All Quiet on the Western Fronts on Netflix. HBO has, I think, Everything Everywhere All at Once, I think, is on HBO. I think they're out there. You can go get them.
Okay. All right. That'll be my homework until our next podcast.
And in the meantime, I'm going to go watch Kang blow some shit up.
I thought you said Kane.
Kang, not Derek King. Derek King the Conqueror, the Time Lord of the Marvel Universe.
What's going on over there?
Kang wearing one of those little, old-timey Irish hats that Derek King likes to wear.
So we will be back at this at some point, probably before the deadline, yeah.
I'm glad we did this. It's justifying this microphone I had to buy in Montreal.
Yeah, you can listen to Laz on multiple podcasts now.
I feel like this microphone should give me like a French accent or something, as I bought it in Montreal. It should do something to my voice to make me sound more like Maurice Chevalier.
I can do that in post-production. All of a sudden, whenever you talk, just some random guy.
We are talking about the Blackhawks.
Tomorrow we got the poll and then we got the deadline, and yeah, they'll be the focus until after the deadline.
And more Patrick Kane stories. Yes. Brace yourselves.
Forward to it. So for Mark Laz, I am Scott Powers, and this is Laz and Powers, and we'll talk to you soon. And I know that I can fix it. I can help even just a little.